Well, let's open our Bibles up at 1 John and chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. August, summer is here, and church life continues, but not as we know it most of the year round. It's holiday time and congregations and preachers are unpredictable. So what to do for summer time in church, for August Sunday mornings? What series to do? What should we be preaching on? It would be very easy to take up and follow on from 1 Peter, our normal series on throughout 2015. But so many people are away, they've missed the end of the series. So we're not going to do that. Rather, we're going to indulge this preacher here by letting him re-preach his favorite sermons over the years. Two dangers with that. One is that they might not be your favorite sermons. And two, by the end of the sermon, you might say, oh, why was that his favorite sermon? But I've got a favorite on 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3. And there are three things in this scripture that make us say, wow. As Bethany spoke to our children and young people earlier, what makes you say, wow? What fills you with wonder, or should I say, wonder? Well, there are three wonders here in verses 1, 2, and 3. There's the wonder of what we now are, there's the wonder of what we will yet be, and there is the wonder of what we now do. And by the end of these verses, we should be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Let's consider, first of all, then, the wonder of what we now are. Look at verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So what are we now? Now we are the children of God, children of the loving Heavenly Father. And He's lavished His love upon us. Now, when John wrote verse 1, I sometimes try to picture how these New Testament writers wrote their epistles, where they were when they wrote them, what kind of surroundings they were in, what they leant upon to write, and what was coming through their mind, and very expression on their faces as well, and what was going through their hearts. And I reckon that when John penned verse 1 here, he had a smile beaming all across his face, because the NIV brings it out with these exclamation marks. Look, the halfway through verse 1, that we should be called children of God, exclamation mark. And that is what we are, exclamation mark. That is an amazing thing, full of wonder, that we should be called children of God. John was writing largely to people who were non-Jews. There were Jews amongst them, but they were largely Gentile people. And in the place where it was said of them that they are not the children of God, now it is said they are children of the living God. And it can be said about us as well. Whoever would have thought that when John penned this letter 2,000 years ago, that there would be people at a place called Hook, near Kingston, in Surrey, in England, and the United Kingdom, in Europe, reading these verses and saying, that's me. I am a child of the living God. This is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have, to be born of God. Jesus mentioned this when a man called Nicodemus came to him on one occasion and wanted to know a bit about who Jesus was. And Nicodemus knew that Jesus was a man sent from God, a kind of religious teacher. But as soon as Nicodemus said that, then Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And he repeated it, you must be born again. Why must people be born again? We're born a first time. Why must we be born a second time? Well, verse 10 lets us into the answer here. If you look at verse 10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Now, that's rather stark. And again, you wonder the kind of image that was across John's face when he penned that verse, who the children of God are, who the children of the devil are. And he seems to be saying here that there are only two groups of people. We think of children in all kinds of ways, don't we? We think of those that are compliant and those that are really strong-willed. Or we talk about different personality types, and there are many of them on the spectrum. But John says there's actually only two kinds of people around: children of God and children of the devil. And the teaching of the New Testament from John chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 2 is that in this world, before we know Christ, we are the children of the devil. That's stark. The children of the devil. And that's not popular teaching. And it might make you rebel against what the scriptures say. But I would urge you to study those scriptures, John 3, Ephesians 2, and 1 John 3, and see the teaching there. So if we're the children of the devil, naturally, then we supernaturally need to become the children of God. And that only takes place when we are born again. And that happens when the Spirit of God works powerfully on our hearts. We believe the scriptures so that the seed of God is in us and we become God's children. And this is what John wants to emphasize. The people he's writing to are no longer the children of the devil. They have been born again. They are now the children of God. And John, full of wonder, says, this is what we are. We are now the children of God with access to our Heavenly Father. And I ask this question to you. Have you been born again? Do you know God as your loving Heavenly Father? Or are you way off from his kingdom, living in the kingdom of darkness instead of the kingdom of light? Jesus said, we must be born again. And the time to be born again is now, if you're not yet born again. And then we become the children of God. And then we can say with John in verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. It's like John now is not just filling us with wonder at this thought that we become the children of God. He's also emphasizing it. And he emphasizes it by adding this word. That is what we are. Why does he have to emphasize that? He actually does it as well in verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God. There's real emphasis going on. But why does he have to do that? Well, for two reasons. First of all, we've got to emphasize the wonder and the glory of being the children of God. We have to emphasize it first because, well, the world doesn't make much of it. So we've got to make much of it. Because the world doesn't make much of it. You see, again in verse 1, at the end, it says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So the world would look at us and they won't recognize us as a child of God, just as we are, unless we show them we are children of God by doing what John says, doing what is right and doing what is good. But even then, the world won't make much of us. Indeed, they'll be cynical towards us. You just need a crutch to lean on. Or they'll say, oh, it won't last. It's just a crisis the person is going through. You wait till they get better and then they'll just go back to how they lived before. No, the world will doubt that we can be children of God. And the world won't make much of it. And the world won't make much of it because at the end of verse 1, they didn't make much of Jesus. See, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Why did they crucify the Lord of glory? Why do that? If they knew that Jesus was the Son of the living God, they would never have crucified him. They would have been terrified to do so. But they did not recognize Jesus as the Lord of glory. So from the stable to the dusty road to the miracles to Jerusalem, to the cross, to the resurrection. They did not recognize he's the Son of God. And if they don't recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, they will not recognize that we are the children of God. So we won't get any encouragement from the world, but we can get encouragement from one another. And that's why John emphasizes this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. That is what we are. The second reason we need to emphasize this is because sometimes we ourselves doubt it. Am I really a child of God? We feel like we're still kind of ugly ducklings, never going to be swans. We're children of the devil, never going to become children of God. Ah, go on. I can't be, can I? John emphasizes it. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have turned from your sin, then you are a child of God. And John emphasizes it for our encouragement and our wonderment. How come we're the children of God? Well, if you look at the beginning of verse 1, it tells us, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." It's because of the love of God. See, we are not born as children of God, but through the great love of God, we are reborn to become the children of God. And when John mentions the love of God here, he doesn't just mention, see, the love of the Father, but he speaks about what great love the Father has for us. And that word in the Greek, the "what great" word, is translated in older versions as manner. What manner of love? And it's the idea of it's something out of this world. It blows your mind, takes your breath away. This great love of God is, wow, the love of God. And these same set of words were used of the Lord Jesus himself when he was on the Lake of Galilee on a boat, and there was a great storm, and he stilled the storm. And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this? What a great man this is." It's the same when the disciples went to Jerusalem and they saw the temple, and the temple was built out of massive stones, huge stones. And when the disciples, the kind of people there from Galilee in the north, they came down to the south, to Jerusalem, to the capital, they saw these great stones. They said to Jesus, "Wow, what manner of stones these are. They're huge. We haven't seen anything like this in Galilee." And it's the same word used of us, used of the love of God about us. What manner of love is this? What great love God has for us. This is a love we've never known before. The love of God. And that love, John tells us, is lavished on us. Lavished. John is thinking here, or maybe he doesn't know about mustard and tomato sauce, but let's transfer it to our kind of day and generation. So we grown-ups, we know that you just put a little bit of horseradish on the side, or a little bit of mustard on the side until you've tasted it. Just a little bit, just measure it out. But along comes the young boy with the Heinz squeezy bottle of tomato sauce. Whoa! Everywhere. Lavishes it all over his chips. That's the idea of the word here for us. God hasn't just measured out his love for us a little bit here and there, bit for you, bit for you, bit for you. He's lavished it on us. We just do not realize how much God actually loves us. This is the love of God, that he sent his Son to die upon Calvary. That is the measure of God's great love. And that is an amazing love. And John says, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Think of it. You, me, David Robotham. Others, love of God lavished on us. We're the children of God. That is an amazing, amazing thing. Well, there's the first thing to make us say, wow. Second thing to make us say, wow, is this. Wow to what we will yet be. The wonder of what will yet happen to us. Now, this comes out in verse 2. So look at verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This wonder is all about what will happen to us when Jesus returns. And I just want us to think about that, because we know that the Lord is coming back, And we think of all that that will mean for him, and rightly so, because it is all about him. But do you know, Christian, there are certain things that will happen to you when Jesus comes back? Just a little point for those that are interested in kind of theology here. In verse 2, you have the tension between the now and the not yet. See, verse 2, dear friends, we are now we are children of God. So that's what we are now. And then go on in verse 2, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Now, those two things come out often in Scripture, the now and the not yet. And we get into great confusion if we try to bring the not yet into the now, which is what many areas of church and Christianity are doing. They're taking what's reserved for heaven, and they're trying to bring it to now. So they demand health, wealth, and prosperity now. That's reserved for heaven. But they try to bring it into the here and now. They demand miracles here and now. They demand totally fit and well bodies here and now. And they demand large bank accounts here and now. But that's for them. It's not for now. Now we're the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. So there's the tension. We've got to hold the tension, leave the not yet for the not yet, and enjoy the now, now. So what will we be then? Well, it's not yet been made known. But we've got a little clue. In verse 2, it says, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. That's the clue. We shall be like Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul brings that out in 1 Corinthians 15 as well, when he speaks about the resurrection body. And he says, as in Adam all die, as in Christ all will be made alive. And we shall, just as we have borne the likeness of the man from earth, Adam, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven, Jesus. So we shall be like Jesus. We shall be like Jesus in his resurrection body. That's what we'll be like. So his resurrection body had tremendous powers, unearthly powers, powers that he had after his resurrection that he never had before his resurrection. We shall be like him, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, that we shall be like, have a body like unto his glorious body. So then there'll be no health problems. Then there'll be no injections, tablets, hospital appointments, and so on. Then they'll be thinking, did I get the appointment wrong? Am I in the right place here now? And why can't I concentrate and read in this outpatients department? Why it's so busy? Why do I get so distracted here? In there, up there, there'll be none of that. Total concentration, perfect minds, perfect bodies, perfect characters, sinless. Sinless. No selfish ambition, no envy, no pride, no jealousy, no fighting my corner because this is what I want and this is what I claim and this is what I should do. None of that. Up there in glory, it will be an acknowledgement that Jesus rules over everything. And we will love each other perfectly with an unsinning heart. Now we're the children of God, which is absolutely great. But then we will be just like Jesus. And that is a wonder. Why? Well, because we really want to be like Jesus. Those who are Christians know that desire. They've got it in their hearts that they want to be like the Lord. Now, there is an encouragement here. If you come over to chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. And you might think, well, is that really true? In this world, we are like Jesus? Yes, we are. But we're not fully like him. We're becoming more and more like him. And the work is progressive within us. So if you think about the day you became a Christian, it might be decades ago, it might be a year or so ago, or it might just be a few weeks ago. But when you became a Christian, you were not a bit like Jesus. But now, as through spiritual disciplines and waiting on the Lord and seeking his will in your life and reading the scriptures and letting God work in you, you are a bit more like Jesus than you were when you were first born again. That's got to go on a long way, and it is progressive. But as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being changed from one degree of glory into another. But it's progressive. But on that day, when we see Jesus, it will be instant. Why? Because the very vision of Jesus will transform us. Look at the end of verse 2. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. There's the reason. The very sight of Jesus will transform us. We become like him when we see him. And it talks about the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he appears, Christ will appear again. He will come riding the clouds of heaven. No eye will miss him. Every eye will see him. It will be evident to all upon the return of the Lord Jesus Christ that this is the Son of God. And then those of us now who are children of God will see him, and in a flash, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, we will become just like Jesus. When we shall meet him in the air, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, yeah. Unless you're over 50. Oh, yes. When we see him, we will be just like Jesus. That is a wonder. Well, the third wonder is this. First, now we're children of God. Second, when he appears, we will see him, we'll be like him. Here's the third wonder. Wow, to what we now do. Look at verse 3. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. This is a wonder, that we want to be pure as he is pure. Who is it that wants to be pure? It's those that have this hope in him. Now, that verse can be read in two ways, actually, in verse 3. It can refer to those that have this hope in them, or it can refer to those who have this hope in him. But actually, it means exactly the same. If you've got this hope of glory in your heart, as we sung, he has set his hope in us, then you're bound to have the hope in him. So you might have a Bible translation that actually says, all who have this hope in them purify themselves. The newest version says, all who have this hope in him. But it means basically the same thing. We have this hope in Jesus. This hope that he's going to appear. That's the hope. It's the hope of seeing him. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does it mean to purify ourselves? Well, the idea of purity is of singleness of mind and heart. Something that's mixed. It's not pure. But there can be metals, oils, all kinds of things that are mixed. They're not pure. But something that is pure, made of one thing. And that's what we seek. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. That's purity. And we seek to purify ourselves from all sin and unrighteousness. And we seek to be like Jesus. That's what purity is. It's to be like him. And the hope of heaven makes this demand upon us and actually makes us want to be as pure as we can possibly be for that day. For that day is described like the wedding day of the Lamb. And for a wedding day, it's the bride that gets herself ready. And sometimes that can take ever such a long time. But it's the bride that gets herself ready. She'll have all kinds of help, But it's the bride that gets ready for the wedding day. See, the groom, he just kind of turns up. Jesus has done everything to get ready. He's ready. He's just going to turn up on the day. He's going to appear. He's going to be there. It's we that have got ready. Got to get ready now. We're the bride. So we purify ourselves that we might be ready for that grand arrival of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. Therefore, we want clean hands and a pure heart. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wondrous compassion and purity. We want to be like Jesus. And that is a wonder, because there was a time when you never wanted to be like Jesus, ever. But now that you're born again, now that you know that you're going to be like him instantly in the future, right here and now, there's a wonder about this. I want to be like Jesus now, more and more. I want to be as pure as he possibly can be. So these are the three wonders that should really take our breath away. The wonder of what we now are, children of God. Wow to what we will yet be, just like Jesus. Wow to what we now do, purifying ourselves to be like him more and more and more each day. Amen.